Today on Doomed! QAnon is spreading. And now it is seeping in to the real world. The real world of professional wrestling. On today's show, we will dive into the world that is QAnon and how it has now found its way to the WWE. How did that happen? Also on the show, we're going to talk about the trafficking charity that is really using QAnon in an attempt to push its own, you know, sort of grift. Also, Dwayne The Rock Johnson has endorsed Joe Biden, and the right is none too pleased about that one. Folks, welcome to the show today. Let's pull us up on the feed so you can see us. My guest today to guide us through this. Hold on one second. He'll be there right now. There we go. Pro wrestling journalist David Bixenspan. Thank you so much for joining me today, buddy.
Thank you for having me again. And by the way, we may end up just turning my camera off because, as I think everyone can see, it keeps going in and out for some reason.
Right, yeah. There's something going on. I think Q is trying to stop this episode from happening.
Yeah, I'm curious if I did like a screen share, if that would hold up, if it's the hardware. Because I think it is the hardware, because the light on the MacBook is blinking whenever that happens. Which I don't think would happen if it was just a connection thing.
Right. So. Right. Man, we gotta do something about the internet, David. Once we take care of all the other problems, coronavirus, Trump, the next thing, we gotta get high speed broadband, fiber optics all across this great nation.
Well, I have a gigabit connection. This one's maybe my computer, and actually, since I just got a repair on this MacBook, actually, that means it's under warranty again. So I may need to call them about that if this continues beyond this call.
Yeah, you can go ahead and shut off the video if you think that helps, because otherwise we're going to lose your sound, too.
Hello?
I'll call him back. Give me one second here, and I'll call him right back. So anyway, I was on the Majority Report earlier today, and that was a lot of fun. If you missed out on that, be sure to tune in. It's at youtube.com/Sam Cedar, a co-host. The second half of the show every Thursday now with the Thursday crew, Jamie, Matt Leck, and Brendan. Also, doomedpod.com for the audio version of this show, and youtube.com/Matt Binder for the YouTube live stream version of the show. And patreon.com/Matt Binder to help fund this show, make this show possible, make it expand. Maybe one day I can have enough patronage coming in that I can upgrade David Bixenspan's internet myself. David, you there?
My internet's fine. I think, it's the physical camera I'm actually seeing now because I opened up FaceTime.
On my end now, I got the green screen screwing up. There we go. Okay, now that's much better. All right, now.
Well, at least I can use my neck pillow now.
Always look on the bright side, right?
The neck pillow is the only reason that I haven't always been on video when I've been on.
Oh, there you go. If you could pull that off, why not?
I mean, you can attest to that. I've told you.
That's true. All right, David. Let's finally get into this.
Yes.
All right. So, number one, what's going on with the WWE superstars and QAnon? Now, for anyone who doesn't know, let's start it out by setting what QAnon is. I mean, again, if you've been watching this show, you know what QAnon is at this point. And I don't know what else to tell you. However, for those tuning in for the first time, you know, this is a pro wrestling episode a bit. So maybe someone who's a wrestling fan is tuning in and wants to know what QAnon is. So I always ask my guests first, what is your take on this? Tell me what your summary is of what QAnon is, if you were telling someone for the very first time.
Ooh, okay. I mean, this changed in the last few months.
It did. That's right.
Before, I would have gone strictly with the whole intelligence agent with top level clearance that's actually a clearance from the Department of Energy, but none of them realize that because that's what Q clearance is, posting secret coded intel drops on 8chan and then 8kun. And for some reason, they believed this, including when the guy or gal or non-binary person, I guess, started saying that Trump was secretly working against the global pedophile cabal, who were pedophiles not necessarily for sexual pleasure, but to cause the kids to become scared and full of adrenaline so they can drink adrenochrome from their blood and be immortal or something. And
right,
Pizzagate's part of it too and all that, but go ahead.
I do like that you went your summary for telling someone for the first time includes the adrenochrome. I think that's fantastic. In fact, I think you're the first person. I mean, that's obviously a part of this whole thing, but you're the first person I think I've spoken to that includes that in their QAnon summary. I like that.
Really?
I like that. Yes.
Go ahead. I think adrenochrome's become a big part of it. I was surprised that I'm the first one to say that.
It definitely has. Even I actually don't include that in the opening, because to me, I guess to summarize, you really got to just get everyone in on the fact that.
But
you can include adrenochrome. But okay, so now how would you explain it as it's changed in recent months? I'm interested in hearing this.
I would say, if giving the background, that I would explain the whole, it's rooted in a conspiracy theory that even by conspiracy theory standards is really stupid part. Like, I would absolutely explain all that first. But now there's the whole unit of people who were soft Q-pilled, so to speak. And it's more generally now kind of like a movement that against quote-unquote child trafficking that's really using... Some people, I guess, completely believe in it. Some people are using certain parts to lure other people in. But pretending to fight child trafficking as a way of saying that there's a global cabal that controls everything, and there's probably some anti-Semitism mixed in, but some of it is so vague now that it's
a lot of anti-Semitism, actually. Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean, though. Like, not necessarily on the surface for someone who's being.
Oh, for sure. Right. No, of course. It's always coded. Like, they're never going to say that the Jew is funding the riots. Instead, they go ahead. The Jews are funding the riots. They go ahead and say. George Soros is funding the riots.
A Jew is funding
the riots. Right, exactly, yes.
Right. So there's that, and, you know, also, oh, God, which show was I listening to where someone pointed out that, conspiracy is kind of just the same thing as blood libel against Jews.
It absolutely
is. There really is very little difference.
I mean, it is exactly it, right, yes, except they've updated it, I guess, at least the language for 2020, right?
Right. And a few months ago, when the soft Q-pilling stuff was only first building up, I kept getting confused. And I think I even tweeted, and this is where I really started to understand it better. Like, I don't get it. I don't get how it's a popular conspiracy theory. Because, like I said, even by conspiracy theory standards, it's super dumb. Like, all of this stuff has gotten much stupider. You know what I mean? Like, do I think Tower 7 was a controlled demolition? No. Do I see why someone would start looking at conspiracy theories after they see the video of the BBC anchor saying that it fell when it was still up in the background? Sure.
Right.
But there's none of that here. It's just believing some random anonymous person on a forum.
Right.
But as it was then explained to me, that now it's more becoming this weird overarching conservative fight the global elites anti quote unquote child trafficking thing. It made more sense how that could entrap more people than the original version did. Not that the original version didn't get disturbingly popular, but the reason that it's exploded so much during the pandemic is the soft Q-pilling and also the mixing in of the pandemic conspiracy theories.
Absolutely. No, you're 100% on point there. You know, I said early on that this was, in fact, let me just drop this as I think about it. October 5th is going to be the 3-year anniversary. That's Monday, the 3-year anniversary of Donald Trump holding that big meeting at the White House with all those military leaders, and he says the now infamous line of, this is, you know, he's asked what's going on, why has he called all these military leaders to the White House, and he simply tells reporters, this is the calm before the storm, which sets it all off. So you know what, I'm gonna do it right here, right now. I'm going to start that Monday, October 5th, hereby is known as QAnon Day. Because this is really where it all comes from. Happy QAnon Day, folks. Because we're not going to have a show on Monday, obviously. But happy QAnon Day, folks. October 5th. And, you know, if you want to go back in the archives of this show, just a few months later, I host a show breaking down the QAnon conspiracy with Will Sommer of the Daily Beast. And I believe, I think someone claimed this, they told me this a while back, and I don't know if it's true, I haven't been able to find out. But this show, that episode I'm talking about, it was early January 2018, almost 3 years ago, was the first episode about QAnon on a podcast that apparently talked about it critically, like wasn't from like the Q believers spreading the conspiracy. I don't know if that's true. Someone told me that was the first ever QAnon episode they could find that wasn't from a crazy conspiratorial right winger who believed it. If that's the case, you know, once again, I'm on the cusp of all this stuff. You know, I did it with Gamergate. I'll do it again with QAnon. But enough about me.
If I had to think about it, I think your episode is the first place I heard about it.
Oh, well, thank you, David. So, you know, I've seen it change, and you're absolutely right. That's my point. I've been watching this thing for 3 years now, and I've seen it change, and I early on noted how, because of how it revived Pizzagate, it was going to become this incubator of conspiracy theories, and basically giving every single one of them, which may have not got any traction by themselves on their own, it's going to give them legs because it's all connected to this one enduring conspiracy that clearly was connecting, and that is that Donald Trump is taking on the deep state and fighting against this global satanic pedophile ring that's trafficking children all over the world and, you know, just happens to be run by all of Donald Trump's political nemesis, you know, the Hollywood elite, the Democratic Party, you know, just interesting how that works out, right? But,
we forgot an important part.
What's that?
Well, many of these people, especially the ones in Hollywood, have been secretly arrested, possibly indicted, possibly tried, possibly convicted, possibly executed.
Right, of course. Secretly. A lot of people are now dead, actually. We just don't know it because they've been cloned. And their clones are out there pretending to be them. Right. Yeah, you know how it works.
Yes, if you want more on this, make sure to subscribe to Chief Police's Patreon.
And we are actually going to... Whose Patreon?
Wait, you don't know about Chief Police?
Chief Police, no.
Oh my god. How have you, of all people, not heard of Chief Police? Okay, I gotta look this up now. Chief Police. You better... Chief Police is this guy who's had a bunch of Twitter accounts that keep getting pulled down or something for Q rule violations or something, and claims to be some kind of chief of police with super secret sources that has a Patreon that only has a $5 a month tier with 1,209 patrons.
Oh, wait. Okay. I've seen this guy's avatar before for sure. Yes. I just didn't hear him as the chief, I guess. Yes, I've definitely come across this guy. I'm looking at his, all these QAnon names just literally just roll into one to me sometimes.
Anyway, I mean, as Q grifts go, it's a clever one, though, because if they're people who are really in deep to the full level Q-pilling, Of course they're going to believe some random dude on Patreon is a chief of police with high-level federal sources.
Right.
And he posts all of these lists of people who've been secretly executed and all that, and he says they're copyrighted, and if you share the list, he's going to block you on his Patreon and stuff like that.
Right. Right. Well, we're going to get to that, actually, very shortly, because you might have heard, but Dwayne The Rock Johnson has endorsed Joe Biden. And I don't know if you knew this, David. I would be surprised if you mm-hmm. didn't, as the premier pro wrestling journalist, I believe, in the world, if not at least the country. Dwayne The Rock Johnson's actually been cloned. And we're seeing his clone endorse Joe Biden. I don't know what happened to the real Dwayne The Rock Johnson, whether he's in jail or he's been executed. I haven't got the communique yet from the Q.
I think he has been executed, apparently.
All right. Well, I'm surprised because he seems like someone who could have fought back against the executioners. But I guess even Dwayne The Rock Johnson's no match for Q. Anyway.
Oh, come on. I always kind of figured he was a kind of all show, no go.
But let's get to that in a minute. First, I want to talk about your piece. And
for Vice, yeah.
For Vice, yes. And this piece looks into how QAnon has spread to the professional wrestling world. Now, we just spoke about how it blew up during the coronavirus pandemic. And, you know, all these sorts of regular, non-political people are now all of a sudden believing that President Trump is actually saving children from a global satanic pedophile ring. It's really hit, like, the wellness and, like, Instagram health communities really hard. A lot of, like, middle-aged or Midwestern white moms believe this stuff. It's getting out of hand.
Yes.
And it's concerning for sure. But how did it get into pro wrestling? Now, I know a lot of people are going to be like, oh, you know, pro wrestling, because pro wrestling has the stigma of fans being not so smart or dumb or whatever. It's not true. Pro wrestling has changed a lot over the years, as you can see from basically it becoming sort of a cool, like, hipster type thing for people, you know, the cool kids to be into. You know, a lot of young adults and older millennials are into pro wrestling because it's got the nostalgia factor. And a lot of the new breed of professional wrestlers have been fairly progressive, actually. Pro wrestling has updated itself, you know, maybe not when it comes to labor rights and things like that. But it's definitely updated itself with the culture in terms of how it talks about certain things. It tries to be more aware of I don't want to say social justice issues, but because it is still a little behind in some areas, but it is definitely more aware than it ever was before. And again, like I was saying, the new breed of pro wrestlers who are actually the talent and, you know, get to sort of shape how the locker room and backstage culture is, which of course then would portray on the screen as well. You know, they're fairly more progressive than beforehand. A lot of the young stars are actually very liberal. Progressive, I should say. What happened? How did this occur?
I mean, as far as just the larger political shift in wrestling, I think that's just changing demographics in terms of both younger people, the current generation, but also more, I would say, non-white talent on a lot of rosters too.
Right, and like you said too, with the professional wrestling fans, they're a lot more diverse. I think we were talking a couple of years back on one of the episodes of this show how there was a study and the pro wrestling has one of the most I think it's diverse and also democratic. Sports fan base. Like, more wrestling fans tend to be more liberal than some other sports, you know, besides I think it was like the NBA and I can't remember what the other one was, but
I've
like,
got it in front of me. So it's a 2013 Business Insider article. I'm trying to scroll to see if they said who did the study, but it was the politics of sports fans who are fans of different sports of different leagues. And it's from 2013, so it's not super duper recent, but it's recent-ish.
Right.
And the big takeaway, and I mean, I don't even see anyone ever really reference this outside of wrestling, maybe MMA fans, but you know, the big takeaway on wrestling is that it says WWE parenthesis pro wrestling fans are further than the left that on the political spectrum than basically any sports fans other than European soccer slightly, NBA by a fairly good bit, WNBA by a lot, and I think it's, let me see, it's women's tennis by a little, men's tennis maybe looks like slightly less than wrestling.
Right. So basically, but all the major sports, though, like it's more progressive than the yeah. fans are more progressive than Major League Baseball fans, than NFL fans, than NHL MLB, fans,
NHL, college basketball, right. NASCAR. Right. NBA is the only real major that's ahead of WWE fans on that.
Right.
And now I don't think it's a coincidence that we are talking about sports and organizations and genres of sports with higher concentrations of Black and LGBT fans.
Right. Right.
So I think that's a big part of that. And, you know, it's, I don't think it's talked about in this article, but wrestling has forever, pretty much always, you know, the TV term is over-indexed in terms of Black and Hispanic viewers compared to other shows on right. TV.
Now, with this all said, though, obviously we should also point out that the President of the United States, Donald Trump, is a WWE Hall of Famer. He has been involved in pro wrestling. He's been a WWE on-screen character. He's very good friends with, I mean, I guess you can say literally the face of professional wrestling, Vincent Kennedy McMahon, Vince McMahon. When Donald Trump became president, I said you could explain a lot of the dynamic here with pro wrestling. I mean, he acts like he is a pro wrestling character, always cutting promos, always trying to put on a show. He isn't smart. He's not strategic. But one thing that he was blessed with at birth, because you can't teach this, is Trump just has a natural charisma that a certain portion of this country connects with. And, you know, that's something that they say a lot of successful pro wrestlers have. You know, The Rock has a natural charisma. You can't teach someone that. And that's why he's one of the biggest wrestling stars in the world. One of the biggest stars, period, in the world. Hulk Hogan, Stone Cold Steve Austin, all the biggest wrestling stars, and the ones that jumped into the mainstream like The Rock, all have this natural charisma. So if you pay attention to pro wrestling and understand what makes a pro wrestler a star, you get how Donald Trump got to where he is.
Yes, absolutely. And like even like that kind of like insult, bravado, reflexive, you know, punching down thing, there are people who that appeals to. I mean, I wouldn't say it's the same as being one of the people cheering the heels at a wrestling show, because it's not at all. But I don't know. That was the closest comparison I could see myself drawing as far as wrestling. Right. And then the other thing that's also just, I don't know if weird is the right word, but WWE made the call when Trump was elected that even though they obviously support him as a company, the McMahons of course obviously support him. Linda McMahon was in his cabinet and now runs his official reelection super PAC. You know, Vince has generally been a Republican, even if they've donated to some Democrats. Like, obviously, they support the Trump administration. You know, there's the famous photo of the McMahons in
the White House, right?
In the Oval Office with Trump. And the joke that went around with it, because it was true, was that all but one of the adults in that photo had taken the Stone Cold Stunner from Steve Austin in WWE, because it was Donald Trump, Linda McMahon, Vince McMahon,
right,
Shane McMahon,
Triple H,
Stephanie McMahon, Triple H. Right. The only adult who had never taken the Stone Cold Stunner would be Shane's wife, Marissa.
Right, and I'm sure they would have done it sometime. You know, I'm sure, yeah.
Right, and even then, she worked for WWE for years, you know, in PR and stuff,
right,
and as a TV host and all sorts of stuff. So, for some reason, though, I mean, why am I saying for some reason? this is how it was reported, at least in the Wrestling Observer, that they were worried that if they embraced Trump at all, it would kill their black and Hispanic fan base.
Oh, and they absolutely were right for guessing that, because it certainly would have. Now, with that said, though, you know, we just told you how, you know, there's a progressive movement growing in the pro wrestling world, but then you have the basically the people running the biggest wrestling program, the biggest wrestling company in the world, like all the people running the biggest wrestling company in the world are Trump supporters. You're probably wondering then how QAnon got into wrestling, and we're going to explain what's going on here. But what was the patient zero in pro wrestling? And, you know, I think people will not guess this because it comes from out of the blue. The person who, you know, no one really cares. I don't think anyone will really recognize the name, but the guy's role in the company. It's amazing what this person was able to do.
Okay. It seems like it's the main person mentioned in my article, which is referee Drake Wirtz.
I just want to really harp on that and how ridiculous this is. We have, you know, we have all these major people in this industry, and then of course you have the political minds that are Trump supporters. You think, you know, maybe Triple H or Shane McMahon or even Vince himself fell onto Q and were like, oh, let's tell people about it, and or even work it into a pro wrestling gimmick or whatever. But no, the guy who ends up bringing QAnon into the WWE is a freaking referee. Just unbelievable to me.
Yes. Although we should point out, too, that as we speak, one of the top storylines on Monday Night Raw involves an evil Antifa super soldier stable.
Right. And it's very poorly done, too, at that. So,
yes.
Yeah. That. So bad. But we can get into that later. Let's stick with the QAnon.
Yes. But,
Tell us more about this guy. Referee Drake. What's his name?
Wirtz.
All right. Drake Wirtz. Tell us about him.
So he had been an indie wrestler for years. Used the name Drake Younger. And he was mainly known for doing, you know, kind of slice and dice, bloody deathmatch type stuff. That type of stuff that guys like Nick Gage. For people who saw the video from a couple years ago of David Arquette getting glass broken on him against Nick Gage, that's kind of deathmatch wrestling. And he was fairly good at it, and probably best known for a match he did in Germany with a fellow by the name of Thumbtack Jack that was called the Saw Deathmatch, and you can find this on Daily Motion, because they were, like, trying to base it on the first Saw movie, and Thumbtack Jack would, like, call out references to the traps in the movie. So, anyway, that's Drake Younger. WWE is weird about, because I don't know if they have any rhyme or reason to this, when they will hire a wrestler to be a referee. Like, they've done it a lot more in recent years, especially as they've been building up the roster of female referees. But I've never heard anyone explain, like, why did they decide, okay, I want this person who's been a working wrestler for years to be a referee. Doesn't seem clear why. But anyway.
Now this guy seems to have a history of this sort of stuff. Like, he seems to be a full-blown right-winger, and not just that, a full-blown conspiracy theorist as well. I mean, there is major overlap, and if you draw a Venn diagram, it almost is completely overlapped. But there is a possibility to be on the right and be a conservative and not believe in, you know, conspiracy theories or ones as out there as QAnon.
Right. And, you know, even, like, I wouldn't say that it's as out there as QAnon, but even then, like, you know, Clinton body count was a fairly mainstream conservative conspiracy theory back in the
right.
day.
Yeah.
You know, it'd come up in fairly mainstream conservative broadcasts.
This guy has some, like, tweets about Hillary Clinton killing Vince Foster or something like that.
Well, no, but my point is like, I get what you're saying, but I wouldn't say it's quite as removed as you're saying because of stuff like that. Right. But I get your point is correct. It, being a conservative even now doesn't inherently make someone a conspiracy theorists, because there are a lot of conservatives in wrestling, and most of them aren't posting, you know, save the children so the elites can't get adrenochrome stuff.
Right. So he's posting this type of stuff. He's not someone...
Well, no. It's so not exactly. It's tricky because he seems like he knows exactly what he's doing. And there are people who in WWE will remark about him having less than savory opinions on race. So...
Whoa, wait, hold on. I don't think we should just over... I mean, I guess that's not too surprising that some of these guys have...
It's a thing I've heard discussed from other reporters and sometimes wrestlers. And it's become more of a public thing lately. I don't know if it's been, like, properly reported. But it's a thing that's out there. So I'm not putting something out there that isn't already. No, I know you're not questioning.
Right. So let's jump into what exactly he's doing to introduce, because from what I've seen, there are a number of WWE wrestlers who have been wearing, and we'll get into this charity group in a second too, shirts belonging to a QAnon adjacent. That's your phrasing. I think that's a good way to describe them, because they're a charity. Again, we'll get more into that charity in a second, but they're a charity that's been around for since before QAnon and dealing with sex trafficking. But unlike every other legitimate sex trafficking charity that's denounced QAnon as hurtful to their work, this is the one charity that has embraced QAnon and has gone full bore with it and basically uses it to promote their own shit. So out of all the groups that fight actual real sex trafficking that happens in the world and deals with those issues, this WWE referee has latched on to the one that's pushing QAnon bullshit, and he is now basically having WWE wrestlers who are on TV, well-known stars, some of them role models to children, promote this group by wearing their paraphernalia and ostensibly posting about how this group is trying to fight sex trafficking of children.
More or less, yeah. Like, generally, he has not posted stuff that would be like explicit cue, but he has posted stuff that certainly makes you think he knows what he's doing. Like, try to find where I uploaded it now, because I didn't end up putting in the article that he did a share in at least one Instagram story that was, I think it was a screenshot of someone else's post and not just a share of the post. Well, yeah, I guess if it's in Instagram story, it would have to be. And it was someone, I don't know if they were a prominent Q influencer or anything, but talked about saving the children, but had, like, hashtag satanic in there.
Really?
So...
Now that takes it a bit further than some of the other stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm trying to find it right now, because... The phrase satanic pedophiles is not used, but it's implied. Okay, so let me click. This is because I have this on Imgur, even if it didn't make it in the article. I'm trying to remember when it was from, too. Come on, is this loading? But, okay, if this works in a second, I'll read from it, but you get the idea.
Right. So
there may be more stuff in stories that I don't know about because those disappear in it.
Now, the first thing I saw when I was looking into this was that, and this is the big one to me because this is someone who is related to a very big superstar, you know, a very well-known celebrity who we just mentioned earlier. So basically, The Rock's cousin, Nia Jax, posted a photo on Instagram, and I believe she must have, what, hundreds of thousands of followers, wearing this QAnon-friendly charity shirt. And, you know, talking about this group. And it's clear to me that this referee introduced her to this group and probably even asked her to post the photo, to wear the shirt and post the photo.
I think she tags him somewhere in it. I'd have to pull it up.
Right. But... So, I mean, this guy seems to be behind it all. Like, how many of these WWE guys who are wearing this shirt and promoting this QAnon group how many, this QAnon friendly group, let me be accurate here, how many of these guys actually believe in it or know what they're even pushing to begin with? And how much of this is just one guy pulling everybody's strings here?
It seems like it's mostly that he's the main one that knows what's going on. And real quick, okay, I got it to load in Chrome. It wasn't in whatchamacallit, in Safari for some reason. So I was posted, I think, within the last several weeks. You know, again, it's story, so there's no date stamp in it when you take the screenshot. But he shared with the caption, "Makes me sick," a screenshot of an Instagram post from someone using the name Eddie Penny, Eddie.P-E-N-N-E-Y. I don't know if he's a known Q influencer or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all caps, "While Democrats placed protecting sexual predators over protecting our children, ... with the A's and the nays on the California thing where the law was really
right.
Make sure it was the so well there's that part too. I mean, this is straight up like disinformation.
Right.
That
And he shared this where?
He shared this in his Instagram story.
Huh.
So
now listen, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. So it's the who voted for and against the bill in California that was actually just to make sure that, you know, gay people were not discriminated against in sexual consent laws and age of consent and all that. And then so it has all that. And then it says California Senate Republicans voted against the proposed law that would lower penalties for adults who have sex with children. Hashtag save our children. Logo for Senator Shannon Grove. And Eddie Penny's caption was, "This is the Democratic Party."
All right. This is basically a piece of legislation to basically make it so that gay people are held under the same legal standards that straight people get. You know, basically under the law as it was, or as it still is, maybe. I'm not sure if this legislation has passed yet.
It passed. That was the whole thing. It passed. And I believe it wasn't even like some states had and maybe even still have laws.
Oh, I'm sure
that
they do.
Explicitly treat homosexual sex different from heterosexual sex for right. Age of consent. This was one, I believe, where the penalties were different, not for that explicitly, but for vaginal sex versus other sexual
conduct. Right. And basically this law made it so that gay people are treated equally to straight people under these different. You know, these different
right.
laws, right?
Right.
And so they twist and turn it into something that it's not. Nothing new there. Now, does the WWE have any sort of do they have any sort of policy that says that their employees, at least their on-screen talent, which this referee would fall under, can't post certain types of things? Because I do know that recently there was a lot of story. They made the news when they were trying to tell their talent what social media platforms they could and could not stream or create content for. And they were cracking down on like Twitch channels and the wrestlers who do cameos for extra side money. You know, does the WWE say anything about this sort of behavior?
That I know of. I mean, certainly not publicly, privately maybe, but definitely not publicly. And just for the record, the hashtags from Eddie Penny that were on the post that Drake shared on his story were hashtag satanic, hashtag evil, hashtag dark, hashtag blind, hashtag pedo with a zero, okay, hashtag controlled, hashtag pathetic, hashtag repost, and then the rest is cut off. But that's the most explicit Q thing I've seen from him.
Who are some of the people that have fallen for this by this referee? You know, who has he gotten wrapped up into this stuff? Other than The Rock's cousin.
Which, okay, to be clear, like, that is the only thing she's posted. I think the only reason myself and other people take her as potentially more likely to be Q-pilled is that most people who donated signed items to the auctions that Drake did to benefit the charity Operation Underground Railroad, that's all they did. They didn't even post about it themselves.
Right.
So Like, those people, I all just, barring any further evidence, I give them all the benefit of the doubt.
Right. No, I think it's pretty clear at this point that there is one individual who is bringing his own political ideology into his workplace. And which is, you know, we want to argue that people should be able to talk politics with their, yeah, their coworkers. That's okay. I'm nothing against that. But it seems like there is one individual who is trying to sort of quietly get this sort of stuff, this QAnon adjacent charity, and by default, this whole idea that child trafficking is, you know, the QAnon version of child trafficking is sort of, he's trying to just seep it quietly into the minds of some of these people. Because, you know, if you're a wrestler and one of your buddies, or any workplace, if you're working at a, you know, if you're in the office and one of your work buddies comes over and tells you about this group that they feel really strongly about and asks you for some favors to support it, and it's not too difficult for you to do, and you sign a few things or whatever you would do if you in that situation, you know, if you came around to this later on, if something, you heard about this somewhere, you know, a week later, a month later, you'll go, oh, this must be the thing that my buddy told me about, and being that I trust that person and I'm hearing about this now, they must have been really on top of it and it must be true, and now I'm gonna better educate myself. You know what I mean? Like, if Nia, yeah, Jax was to come across a QAnon story a week before the election and read about it, she would have that back, the backbone of trust, I'll call it, of someone she works with having warned her about this weeks earlier, and she would make the connection and go, oh, this must be a real thing. I gotta get more into it, or I gotta vote for Trump because he's the guy fighting it. Do you know what I mean?
Right. And something else we should mention to you that you kind of alluded to indirectly is the Q version of child trafficking, which I love the nickname that Michael Hobbs from HuffPost and You're Wrong About has for it is the Liam Neeson version of human trafficking.
Right.
You know, from Taken. And that, like, barely happens. The numbers that we see of hundreds of thousands a year or whatever is from flawed studies, some of which have even just been retracted, that extrapolated trafficking from just missing kids.
Right.
And, you know, so many of which are runaways, etc. Or they also include stuff as trafficking that doesn't actually fit into what most people think.
Right. I think you're really good for bringing this up because it's an important point and it's a perfect segue into this group, because I do want to talk about them a little bit more. This charity group. Now, it is important.
I mean, we haven't even gotten into what's in the article yet, so we better.
Right. So this, you know, you might have to stick around for the second half if you don't mind. We'll talk about the Rock Biden stuff. All right, so these trafficking numbers that Q put out, that the QAnon people put out there, these are numbers that basically count, domestic disputes, like parental disputes, where custodial disputes, where, like, if a mother or father who's not supposed to have a child a certain weekend takes the kid
right
for that weekend.
I mean, they're a mix of
this. That would be considered a missing child.
Runaways would be considered missing. And then with trafficking, like, someone who does survival sex is considered trafficked.
Right. You don't have to be a teen who gets stolen from your family and sold into sex slavery to be considered a number in trafficking. Your number, if you yourself run away from home and you alone choose to sell yourself for sex. Sell your body for money. That would be considered trafficking, even though you yourself are deciding to do it, but you're an underage adult, underage kid, excuse me, you're not an adult. It is important to understand those numbers when you hear them, because the actual numbers of the children who get stolen and sold into sex trafficking rings and shipped all over the world, you know, while that does exist, those numbers are not the hundreds of thousands you hear from the QAnon people.
Right. You know, I think the number that Michael Hobbs has been giving has been like something like 115 cases a year.
Right. So let's now jump into this article and get to first. Let's get to this charity. So I'm sure people are wondering.
Operation Underground Railroad.
Let's hit this charity up. Tell us about it, because I was reading about what you were writing. Yeah, and I had heard of them before, and I was sort of unclear of how close they were to QAnon. And I think your description as QAnon adjacent, is spot on. But let's explain it a little bit more for us.
Okay, so they started about 6-7 years ago by a guy named Tim Ballard, who's a former Department of Homeland Security agent who claims to have worked on trafficking cases there, which, I mean, I don't think there's necessarily a reason to not take him at face value on that part. And it's existed for several years. I had not heard of it until recently. It seems like it was generally considered fairly legitimate. Their main thing as far as anti-child trafficking is providing support, I guess, financial and infrastructure and training-wise to law enforcement agencies all over the world as far as training for trafficking cases. And, you know, the fundraiser we'll get to that's kind of at the center of my article is to help spend money for training canine officers that can smell storage media, so CDs, DVDs, thumb drives, hard drives, etc., that might be hidden. And, you know, like, you know, GuideStar, all those tend to treat it as a legitimate charity, at least in terms of in spending and accountability and stuff. It seems like they're legitimate. Let's just put it that way, I guess. And since the recent Q explosion, Ballard has been, how do I put this, not rejecting Q.
Right.
So the thing that's coming up the most is what he told the New York Times in August when Kevin, so does he pronounce it Roos or Rose?
I'm not sure, actually. From the New York Times? Oh, Kevin, yeah. Kevin, I think it's Kevin Roos.
It is Roos. Okay. So he did an excellent story about the whole, you know, co-opting of Save the Children, soft Q-pilling thing in August, which is excellent, and everyone should read it if they haven't. And he talked to Ballard, and there's one quote from Ballard in there, which is, some of these theories have allowed people to open their eyes. So now it's our job to flood the space with real information so that the facts can be shared, which is, not great, but it's, you could see how there's plausible deniability in it.
Right. Also, I should say that every single expert on both conspiracy theories and disinformation and the issue of child trafficking has completely said the opposite in terms of this not being helpful at all. In fact, it hurts the cause of actually fighting real life, legitimate issues of child trafficking.
Right. And just trying to open the links to remind myself which are the ones that have explicitly condemned them. So World Without Exploitation explicitly condemned them in a post on Medium. Kids Safe Foundation did too in a
condemned
post on
QAnon. Website. Yeah, right.
Yes. National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, which is not strictly a anti-trafficking charity, but works with a lot of them and does have some involvement with that. They didn't mention QAnon by name, but the content of theirs was still pretty good. But they didn't explicitly mention QAnon, so I didn't link that one in my article.
Right.
While there is an anti-conspiracy theory, thing on Operation Underground Railroad's website, it's super vague and nonspecific. You know what I mean? Like, if you're super into Q, you don't think it's a conspiracy theory. You think it's real. So it feels like he's been careful. Really, it's the totality of two things. It's not just the Times quote. It's the Times quote in conjunction with what he tweeted when the Wayfair thing was big in July.
Right.
And he posted it on Instagram too. So he said, with or without Wayfair, child trafficking is real and happening! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point.
Yeah, the thing there is, listen, if this guy actually believes that these conspiracies help put the issues in the spotlight, again, every single expert on these situations disagrees with that train of thought. But if this is what that guy believes, then that's one thing. But that opening line right there, with or without Wayfair, that's him basically saying, maybe this conspiracy theory is true about Wayfair selling children.
Well, there's more to that, though, because he attached a video to both the tweets and the Instagram post. And one of the things he says in it, I could say even send you a link if you want to play it, but it's a short part, so I don't think you need to. He says, law enforcement's going to flush that out as far, and that I think I'm reading it from how I quoted it. So there's some introduction, I guess, that I didn't quote, but he says, law enforcement's going to flush that out, and we'll get our answer sooner than later. But I want to tell you this. Children are sold that way, are being in all caps. So he is saying that, well, it's two things. One, he's giving credibility just to the idea that even the Wayfair thing itself could be real.
Right.
But he's also saying, even if it's not, children are sold on regular internet marketplaces using coded language, possibly shipped in industrial containers.
Right. Right. It's, you know, it is.
And that is pretty explicitly Q. I feel
it is very much QAnon. I mean, they were the ones really pushing that Wayfair conspiracy. And, you know, that was one that came in. I feel like it came and went. It had its spotlight. It really went really viral. And then as soon as, you know, it was, there was no ability to prove it because it's the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard in your life and it's not happening. It sort of just dropped. I guess they dropped it because they realized how silly it would look to even, you know, to anyone who wasn't so black-pilled by QAnon. But, you know, it is.
Right.
This is.
Well,
this
no,
is,
you know what I think really killed it? Because for those who thankfully missed that whole thing, it was based on that, like, so they were expensive cabinets. There were some other things too, certain pillows, which I'll get to in a second. But they were industrial cabinets that were apparently were accurately priced. But I guess as a model number or something, they had different names that were, I don't want to say obscure, but I would say relatively uncommon first names. And a lot of them seem to be, like, there seemed to be a racist component too, because either in the naming or even in how they decided this was child trafficking, because it seemed like a lot of the names were like African inspired. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
So I don't know exactly if that consciously played into it or not, but they started looking up the name and just seeing that they matched missing children somehow. But what I think really killed it.
Well, I remember there was one scenario where they matched it up to some child, the name of some missing child who was on some sort of list somewhere online, and a news station either found her or she contacted them and said, "Hey, I'm not missing. This is like an old list from like when I was staying."
Yes, that's what I was getting at.
Right.
I think that's what killed it. Was that? I think she actually posted online where she was like, "This isn't exact, but it was something like this. I ran away from home for like a day. I'm not missing. Leave me the fuck alone."
Right.
So I think that was what led to it being killed. But it, you know, it got so much traction for something where there was clearly nothing. And the pillow thing, for what it's worth, the stuff that was not accurately priced, because that was the other thing, they had ridiculously high prices. That was explained very simply by a lot of people, which is that Wayfair penalizes you if you have stuff out of stock. So instead of putting it out of stock, these sellers use scripts that just raise the price to something that no one would ever spend.
Right.
So that's that. Now, when I reached out to Operation Underground Railroad spokesperson for comment, so there were two things. One was that they said they're, quote, not affiliated with the group QAnon in any way, shape, or form, and to date we have no interaction with them, which is, you know, it's not an organized group. It's like saying you have no affiliation with Antifa. For better or worse,
Right. That
doesn't mean anything, even if they're very different groups. Now, she also included a quote from Ballard, which from Googling appeared to have been never published anywhere before, even though she didn't act like she was giving it to me exclusively. It was very weird. So either he never said it before and it was sent specifically to me, or they had it ready for if they got asked about Wayfair, or he said in a video that hasn't been transcribed anywhere. But basically what it did was soften the stuff he said in July a little bit. So he said, quote, "I don't believe there is any evidence when it comes to the recent Wayfair discussion. Excuse me. That theory has been debunked." But then he hedged on whether or not something like that was possible.
Right, of quote, course.
"I can tell you from 17 years of experience that absolutely children are being bought and sold online, either through social media platforms or various websites. It is happening. It's a very real thing that people need to be aware of." Now, I sent questions back. Why haven't they explicitly condemned QAnon the way that other groups have, you know, like the ones I mentioned earlier. And one was also like, wait, what does he mean by sold online, though? Because, like, for example, like, I would think that the people who are actually doing child trafficking probably use cryptocurrency.
Right.
You know, does that count as being sold online? So they didn't answer that. They eventually heard back from, like, their outside flack, because she had a few days off and thought I sent him stuff for comment, like, 4 or 5 days later than I really did, and asked if we could talk, and I was like, on the record? Because it ended up being after the article came out, and he was like, no, off the record. So I was like, actually, no, I didn't reply. I just left it alone and talked my head. So anyway, they either believe in Q, or they've boneheadedly decided, and when I say they, it's probably mostly Ballard, that it is a help to their movement.
Right.
So as far as Drake Wirtz, since I guess we should go there.
Right. So now how does the, you know, so we have, so we basically, what we've done so far in this episode is we've walked you through the basics of QAnon, if you weren't familiar with it. We've gotten you through how WWE currently is, and then how this referee, Drake Wirtz, brings this sort of ideology of QAnon into the WWE. And then we took a second to explain this group, Operation Underground Railroad, that Drake Wirtz has been promoting. Now, in your piece, there's a specific sort of event that you cover. And it's how Drake Wirtz basically works to promote this fundraiser for Operation Underground Railroad. It seems like he's been doing a lot of things to promote their fundraisers, including getting WWE wrestlers, like we mentioned, to sign memorabilia so they could sell to raise funds for the this QAnon adjacent charity. But tell us about this specific event.
Okay, so the event itself actually has not happened yet. It's going to be October, I think, 17th. I think it might have been rescheduled. At, I think, Ryder Park in Longwood, Florida, which I think is in the Orlando metro or just outside of it. And it's some kind of, I don't know if it's strictly a benefit, like if there's admission or it's just donations requested but not required type of thing.
Right.
But they're screening the movie A Dog's Purpose from a few years ago, which is, I believe, like one of those vaguely Christian, adorable animal movies. Like, there are more than one.
Right.
Yeah. And they're going to be screening the movie in the park and all that. And it's not the first thing he was pushing with them. So he had been posting Operation Underground Railroad memes for a few months. And yes, by the way, yes, there are lots of people who have criticized the name as being, at best, racially insensitive.
Right. I mean,
because they also call themselves abolitionists.
Well, I actually didn't know that part. That yes. Does give it a little bit of an extra. Yeah, this group is definitely shady as hell. I mean, it already was, but I think there's something going on here that people should, that hasn't been uncovered yet. There's some sort
right.
of, you know, I'm not going to speculate, but there's something very off about this group.
Right. They post alleged videos of them capturing traffickers, and some of them don't even have any sound, and it looked like it was stock footage. It's hard to get a handle on them. And then another thing, it'll take me a second to pull up the total, But I did the math on how many kids they said they've rescued, and it averages out to like almost two a day in 6 years.
That seems very unlikely.
Yeah.
I mean, again, unless they're counting kids they help out that, like we say, are,
with
you know,
aftercare or whatever. Yeah,
like runaways or custodial disputes or you know, things like that. If that's the case, if they're counting those, then I could understand. But even then, they're not portraying it as that. So you know, something is definitely off with this group.
Right. They do have a thing on their website on the main page that is – actually, they haven't updated for 2020, I guess, because of COVID or maybe bullshit. 2019 operations. And it's like operation whatever the name is with a country. So Operation Riverbank, Cambodia. 4 rescued, 2 arrested. D.N. Nagar, N-A-G-A-R, Nagar? Yeah, I really don't want to try to guess the pronunciation on this word for reasons that should be obvious. India, 2 rescued, 2 arrested. And it's like they've got, okay, what's this? 3 by 6. So they got 18 of these, and it says this is only a sampling of our rescue operations. Additional missions are completed and ongoing. So there's something that's not right, even if you don't count the Q stuff.
Right.
It's going to take more people, whether it's me, others, looking into this.
Right. So, you know, I think this is, I mean, obviously the hook here is the pro wrestling angle, but I think there's something in this QAnon friendly organization that's waiting to be uncovered. And I think it's going to be, again, not speculating, but I think it's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. How did you know to look for the, to request the access to these emails from
Longwood, Florida? Yes.
Right. How did you know to request these? Was it just something you came across while looking into other things, or?
Well, okay. So Drake has been posting about Operation Underground Railroad since July, and he had, you know, posted some generic memes of theirs. Then he posted the thing saying he had been certified in their Spot the Signs of Child Trafficking program. And then he started helping promote some of their events. There was like a tiny one that he posted photos of that's like 5 people there that he seemed to have helped organize. And then in August 24th, he posts this photo of him and others in the mayor's office in Longwood, where the mayor is former WWE wrestler / American Gladiators cast member Matt Morgan. And they had
A very tall individual. That's how I'll just describe him. He's like, what, 7'2" or something like that? He's very tall.
He's built at 7 feet. He's probably at least like a legit 6'9", 6'10".
A tall guy.
And what is it with wrestler mayors being so tall anyway?
Like Kane in Knoxville, Tennessee,
Knox County. Knoxville,
whoops, I'm sorry.
Has its own mayor. It's an important distinction because it renders much of his job to be ceremonial.
Right. Right. Oh,
I correct you on that.
No, that's important to do.
He doesn't really do that much. And the other thing is, like, I haven't checked to see how the elections have been since he was elected, but, like, Knoxville had a Democratic mayor when he won the Knox County mayor election. Like, it's, you know, it's cities versus rural, and the whole county has more rural. So it's the rare good point that Bill Maher regularly spouts, that it's not north versus south, it's cities versus rural.
Right.
Anyway, where were we? So he talks about this meeting that they had about child trafficking and stuff. Morgan also posted about it on his campaign Facebook. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to send in a request about this meeting, about QAnon, and about Operation Underground Railroad. That should get whatever the heck I'm looking for. Only thing for QAnon was completely benign. It was, I forget the name, it was an email newsletter from a company that does tech news for government agencies, whatever. And then the others were a mix of the ones about the meeting and about Operation Underground Railroad, and that what included the emails. And what the emails showed Okay, a few things. One is that Drake was using his WWE corporate email because he is not just a referee. I think this is fairly recent, like within the last year or so. But he's also a talent liaison that books, you know, extras, non-contract talent for their NXT show. So there's that.
Seems like that'd be problematic if you are a upcoming talent looking to get into the WWE, who also just happens to have very outspoken, you know, maybe left-wing or progressive views on social media, or even knocking QAnon. I'm not, you know, again, it seems like it could be a problem, I'll say.
Could potentially be a problem, sure. So where was I with that? Okay, so yeah, so he was using his company email, which in and of itself, at a minimum, is just kind of weird and inappropriate. And also in those emails where he's going over the planning and stuff with Morgan and the other Longwood, Florida government people, Morgan only uses his Gmail in the ones I have and not his city email. The only email I got in these requests that had his city email address were some random constituent that was like, oh, I saw your Facebook post about the meeting. I've been interested in this charity for a while. I'd like to help, blah, blah, blah. And I think along with the Gmail thing, proving that maybe Morgan is trying to keep this stuff out of the public record, his response to this constituent was just call me with his work cell phone number.
Now, if obviously you wouldn't get the Drake side of the emails because it's a private corporation, like private company.
But no, you get the whole threads.
No, I know that, but obviously you didn't get it because of the Drake side of the conversation, even though you get his part of the conversation.
I got it from the city.
Right. No, what I'm saying is if Matt Morgan is using his personal email, how is this in the public record?
Because one of the other city employees was in the email thread.
Okay, got it. That's where I was a little bit confused as to how it would be in the public record, because obviously the referee's emails wouldn't be in the public record unless he was in contact with someone who would be in the public record. Right, right. That's what I was getting at, right.
And the deputy chief of police, who I hope is not chief police, but I guess if he set up this meeting, could be, said in a calendar entry that Morgan had requested the meeting. So they were probably chatting privately. Who knows exactly how this got set up. And they do this meeting, and so the email show Wirtz using the corporate email, Morgan mainly using the private Gmail, and Wirtz has this habit of, you know, he is a volunteer for Operation Underground Railroad. In these emails sent from his WWE email, he keeps referring to them as, you know, to Operation Underground Railroad, I should say, as we and us. And to make matters thornier, also says he'll try to round up WWE wrestlers to make appearances at the movie night. So he is explicitly using his position in the company on company time to promote this Q-adjacent charity to his former wrestler friend, who's also the mayor of a fairly affluent town in Florida.
Hmm. So, what, you know, with these, you know, this is something that's so bizarre to me, that basically you have a public official and a you know, an employee at the World Wrestling Entertainment, a very president, you know, run by people who are good buddies with President Trump, are basically coming together to promote this right-wing conspiracy. I mean, Matt Morgan, is he someone who has been out there promoting this type of stuff? Obviously he's probably a conservative Republican, but do we know anything more about him in terms of where his ideological bent is on all this?
He's a Republican as far as I know. One person who would know said something to me that he's more MAGA-y than he thinks he is, was the way they put it. The way he tried seemingly to keep stuff out of his government email about Operation Underground Railroad makes me think that he has an idea what's going on. because I feel like between the call me thing to some random constituent emailing him, and then also the use of the Gmail, I feel like that's enough to call it a pattern.
Right.
That close together. So my gut is that he probably knows what's up, but it's not as conclusive. Like Drake is the only one you can be fairly sure. Bobby Fish, who was one of the people who donated for the auctions, he's the only one that donated. Right. Yes, he's the only one that donated anything that had been posting other stuff about Operation Underground Railroad and Save the Children. So I feel like he potentially may also have an idea what's going on. But the others, I more or less give them benefit of the doubt. Except maybe Pat McAfee, who's the latest he posted about since he's worked for Barstool.
Right, a former NFL player, right?
Yes. He donated an autographed helmet, which,
Maybe that's the next thing to look into, too, how it's seeping into other professional sports.
Yeah. I mean, well, by the way, I need to point out, Kareem Zidane did an excellent story for Bloody Elbow that he's going to be updating regularly, he says, about MMA fighters that are conspiracy theorists and what they believe in, what they've posted, etc.
There's a huge... MMA might be the most... MMA, especially UFC athletes, are probably the most extremely far right in all of sports.
The most open about it.
Too. Right, and it is so bizarre to see how the culture there has basically promoted these type of people, because we're talking straight up. I mean, look at Joe Rogan. I mean, there you go. I mean, you don't really need to look so far into too far as to why everybody in that MMA world thinks it's a-okay to act this way and believe these things.
I mean, that's part of it. That's not all of it. I think a lot of it is just how many, like, rural Midwestern, like, high school and collegiate wrestlers there are.
Right.
I think it's that you are drawing from a different, at least for the American athletes, I think to some degree you're drawing from a much different base than you are with the major sports leagues.
Right.
Because of That's stuff true. Like that. I mean, it's changing, but I mean, one of the things about MMA too is that it was, I mean, and is at times, much less lately, but it has been a very white sport at times. Right. And there was definitely a contingent of racist fans who found themselves drawn to MMA because they felt like exciting white guys were winning in combat sports again.
So, David, do you think that the WWE is going to tell this guy to tell this referee Drake Watch to cut this shit out? Because I've looked at a lot of these different Instagram posts where he's, you know, like the Nia Jax one, for example, where he has a wrestler wearing something or whatever, and it does get full of comments from people saying, "Why are you promoting this QAnon stuff?"
And he never applies to them, right? Oh, I do need to add this. Forgot to mention this. With Nia Jax, the other reason that myself and others think that she does have an idea of what's going on is that people started to let her know what was up in the comments, and she limited the comments.
Right. Well, I don't know about who knows what she thinks. Who knows what some of these celebrities?
But it was after after the fact of people saying, "Hey, there's a warning."
They could just think they're being brigaded or something. But no, I agree with you too that it does add extra question to that whole situation. But do you think they're going to tell him to knock this off? I mean, the fact that he's using company email, too, to do this and basically acting as a representative of the company. Like, I would never... I mean, I do multiple different things, then I always use my personal email, the company email that I, for my employers, only for work directly related to what I do for a living. You know, I'm sure the same is for you, too.
Yeah, the little I've heard about any kind of reaction internally, and this isn't solid, but I guess people telling me that if he does get in trouble, that would be the reason.
I mean, it seems like a pretty big reason, because I'm sure he's been working and networking as a, you know, maybe not explicitly saying it, but having the WWE email, you're coming across as a representative from this company, and it does add an extra layer of legitimacy to whatever organization or event you're promoting when you're trying to raise funds or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And again, they've tried to, in a strictly optics way, stay away from, you know, Republican extremist stuff.
Right.
And like I said earlier, like, in real life, they're obviously supporting Trump and stuff, but, like, they're very careful about how things look on the surface.
Right.
And for what it's worth, I was pulling up Bobby Fish's Instagram. He has a post that, when is this from? So 7 weeks ago. So this is, come on, Instagram, do the thing where you hover over that little date stamp and tell me what date. Okay, this is from August 13th. He shared an image that was posted by another conservative WWE wrestler, Jackson Riker, who basically disappeared from TV when he kept posting very specific pro-Trump stuff at the exact wrong moments. Like,
oh, I remember this guy.
When the protests were at their hottest. And stuff.
Right, he's posting like anti-Black Lives Matter stuff right when like the George Floyd protests kicked off at the end of May, right? This guy was something else.
Yes, so he shared this image. It's from someone named Tyler Webster. I don't know who this is.
That name sounds very familiar.
He's a jacked-up guy in front of a flag with chains around his neck.
Yeah, I don't know if he's part of Power Team
or anything. So there's a major pandemic happening in America right now. This pandemic is called child trafficking, hashtag save the children. This is what Bobby Fish posted in the caption. Awareness step one, hashtag stop child trafficking. And then I guess this is an edit. For those of you debating the subtle nuances of this thing and that thing below in the comments, yes, please kick rocks. We're talking about the innocence of children being stolen, these defenseless children then being traumatized for the rest of their lives, etc. I've only stated this once. If you can't see the evil in such things and wish to argue your meaningless point that has something to do with anything other than supporting the prevention of this evil, beat it, geek. Go preach your BS somewhere else. You and your opinions are contributing to the problem, not the solution.
Right. I mean, that's why they focus on this child trafficking. That's why they've picked child trafficking as their issue.
Right, because you can ad hominem the hell out of anyone you're arguing.
Right, and you know, you already see it. What's the conservative, the right's favorite slur now, their favorite word to cast you as in any sort of argument online is just call your enemy a pedophile. That's it.
Yes. And I can give you a wrestling-related example of that, too.
Oh, let's hear this.
Eric Bischoff, best known for running WCW during its peak in the mid to late 90s. He is very far right. He's fairly unabashed about it, although there are areas where he'll surprise you. Like, he's friends with Scott Baio from TV production stuff, or at least was, and would call him on his shit sometimes on Twitter. So it's like his politics are shitty, but I guess could be much worse.
Bischoff seems like one of those sort of, you know, old school, not like, you know, not the I only care about taxes type Republican, but more the old school, like early Obama years, like right before the Tea Party, you know, not because he's not really a Tea Party guy, but you know, one of those like, sort of, you know, the biker type Republican. You know what I'm talking about? Because this is the guy who loves motorcycles so much that he would force the WCW to hold a free pay-per-view in Sturgis so he could attend the rally while simultaneously losing his company money.
That's not exactly the story. I mean, it's kind of part of the story, but Zane Bresloff, who was behind a lot of the event promotions, liked doing unique shows, if they didn't have a live
game. Let's not get too much into this episode.
I don't want to get too in the weeds. But yeah.
Bischoff seems like one of those guys, like the Harley Davidson Republican.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to put it. So fairly far to the right publicly, but not so far enough that you think he's completely lost his mind. I guess. If he's racist, he hides some of it or whatever.
Right.
Okay. 20 years ago, more than 20 years ago, because it was early 2000, he he was coming back into WCW, and he was doing interviews, and this isn't the exact quote, I'd have to look it up, but he says something to the effect of, when someone brings up Bruce Mitchell from Pro Wrestling Torch, he says something like, yeah, Bruce Mitchell, who, by the way, is a columnist, not a reporter, so it's kind of a, it's kind of weird to shit on someone just for their opinions anyway, but he says something to the effect of, oh yeah, Bruce Mitchell, I hear he went to the Jim Thompson School of Wrestling Journalism. I hear there are a lot of like very similar hobbies, if you catch my drift. Very similar hobbies, if you catch my drift, I believe is verbatim. Jim Thompson, better known as M.L. Curley, get it, of the Detroit News as their wrestling columnist and hotline host, had recently been arrested, if not convicted, for child molestation and revealed in the process that he had a PDA. Well, okay, actually, people won't know what that is now. An electronic organizer pre-smartphone that had the name of 3,000 underage boys in it. So he was pretty much calling Bruce a pedophile. To make matters worse, Bruce is an elementary school teacher by day. Right. Bruce sued him, got a healthy settlement from him and WCW.
Wow.
So almost 20 years later, when Bischoff started to go all in on anti-Dave Meltzer, the Wrestling Observer shtick on his podcast, once he, I forget the exact wording, he said something about Meltzer, either said he looks like he should be on a list where he's not allowed to be near kids or near a school, something like that. So this is someone who, going back years and years before this was a preferred conservative slur, was using it as his preferred slur for journalists.
Right.
So, like, I suspect that if we really looked, we could find a lot more of pedophile being used as a slur by conservatives going back years.
Right. But it's definitely taken off as, you know, there's been a huge, huge plethora of it ever since QAnon.
Absolutely, yeah. Right. And by the way, too, you know, we mentioned UFC a little. They've taken the exact opposite optic stance of WWE, where they've completely embraced Trump publicly.
Oh, of course. Dana White is was speaker for the RNC two Republican National Conventions in a row. There, even Vince McMahon is smart enough to stay away from that.
Right. They did, as part of like their UFC anniversary documentary series, they did basically a Trump propaganda piece. You know, there's the whole Colby Covington thing where he's become the MAGA fighter, and Trump called him right after he won his last fight a week or two ago, and like he was doing his live interview at the time and put him on speaker so they could hear him on TV. And, you know, meanwhile, he was had been fighting former champion Tyron Woodley, who's a black guy from Ferguson, who had gotten fed up with his shit, and when they were doing media earlier in the week, was answering every single question with Black Lives Matter as his whole answer, to which Covington started calling him a domestic terrorist.
Right.
And so it's interesting how it's just this opposite stance, and now Dana White is refusing to condemn Covington, even when he says more explicitly racist shit, like when he told Kamaru Usman, who's the champion in his division and is Nigerian American, when he said, oh, you didn't get a call from the president, something to that effect, like, of, oh, what, did you get some smoke signal from your tribe?
Jesus.
Yeah, so
we might have to come back to this and do a MMA
point,
episode.
Yeah, but it's interesting to see the difference that WWE is clearly deathly afraid of the public association. UFC is not.
Right. Well, WWE also has a younger audience to sell their product to, which, you know.
Well, they target a younger audience. Their younger audience has been eroding a lot the last several years. But so as far as the underlying stuff here, I mean, is there anything else from the article that we need to go over? I don't.
I was just about to wrap it up and ask you if you wanted to join me for the second half of the show, so we could talk about The Rock, and that'll be a Patreon exclusive, and maybe maybe because it's election season, I'll release just the rock portion of the patron stuff as a bonus a little bit after the patrons get that first lick at listening to it. David Bixenspan, this is for the farewell for the freebie listeners of the show. Thank you so much for joining us. Where can people find you online?
Okay, you can find me on Twitter at David Bix. That's David and B as in boy, I, X as in X-ray. Always kind of just post most of what I'm doing there. My podcast that I do with Chris Zellner that comes out late every Sunday night / early Monday morning, Between the Sheets, looks at a week in wrestling history as it was covered at the time. What was the latest episode?
And you guys record this while in bed because it's called Between the Sheets, right?
No, Dirt Sheets, Wrestling Newsletters. There are multiple podcasts in Between the Sheets, though, and at least one of them is about sex. So right. There is that. So make sure you look for the right one. And I think the latest one we did is 93, and then we have 2002 coming out next week. And we also have a Patreon, which is patreon.com/betweentheSheets, where for the $5 level, every month we do like a theme show, and we've been doing a series about ECW's run on TNN lately and what a disaster that was. And there's all sorts of other stuff on there. For example, like if you liked the Dark Side of the Ring episode, we did a series on Herb Abrams. So people can check that out. And oh, my Substack, babyfacevheel.substack.com, or just babyfacevheel or babyfaceversusheel.com, where I post some stuff there, you know, myself too.
All right, David, always a pleasure. Give me a minute to plug my stuff for the freebies, and then we'll go to the second half and talk about, we got The Rock and his endorsement of Biden and the right wing turning on Dwayne Johnson because of this. And you found an interesting nugget about the old SmackDown Your Vote campaign from the WWE, which could be an interesting tie-in there, too, because The Rock
was... Well, because it's the same year Rock spoke at the convention, yes. So right. We'll talk about that.
And I also just saw this breaking on Twitter. There are insane tapes that have just leaked of Melania Trump where she basically says, fuck Christmas. We're going to have to play them on the second half of the show. She's complaining about having to do Christmas decorations. And she basically says, who gives a shit about Christmas? This is incredible. I think it's great. I love it.
She was talking about the border separation stuff too. On Google News.
I saw someone mention that, but I haven't seen the transcript for that yet. Cause I was just quickly glancing while we were talking. Cause I'm paying attention to you. I don't want to read something else. So I just saw the Christmas thing. Cause that's just the standout thing when you take a quick glance at something. And we're going to play some of that in the second half. If you are not a subscriber to the show, patreon.com/MattBinder. It's October 1st, 2020. First of the month is always the most difficult day as a Patreon creator. I'm sure you could attest to that, David, because that is the day where Patreon starts charging everyone. And sometimes you lose people due to people having to drop out because of financial difficulties or declines.
Just the credit card doesn't work for some reason. Like, by the way, I don't think all these people are having their credit cards declined. I'm starting to think it's just that PayPal or Patreon just has a system that is not robust enough.
Because it definitely fails for other reasons.
I highly doubt this high a percentage of everyone's patrons is using a funding method that could be empty.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So, folks, patreon.com/MattBinder. If we could just get a couple people up on the Patreon today, if you can afford to do so, I always want to stress this. Tough times. Living in a pandemic, if you're having financial difficulties, you could support this show just by listening to the free stuff. You could support this show by just telling your friends about it. You could support this show by sharing the live streams and the podcast and whatever. It doesn't cost you a thing, and that's supportive of the show. Only if you can financially are able to take on this commitment of $5 a month at patreon.com/MattBinder. So I want you to do this. If you can, I'd really appreciate it. Otherwise, YouTube.com/MattBinder. Subscribe now to the podcast if you just want the audio version of the show. Also, what else? At MattBinder all over the internet, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, wherever. Follow me there. Misinfo.com, short for misinformation. Misinfo, MISINFO.com. That's my new newsletter, debunking misinformation. Sign up. That's free. Yeah, I'm going to start doing, I've been promising you guys this, but I'm going to start doing these standalone YouTube videos, get more content out there. It's just taking me a while to sort of, you know, with the elections and everything and the podcast and, you know, regular job, but figuring this all out, the scheduling and the logistics of it all. But I'm there. I'm going to start doing them. And otherwise, live streamers can stick around for the second half. Otherwise, see you all next time on Doomed.